Oh, you're going to make me say this?
Yeah.
I don't Solana want to say it. Flipped Ethereum? In what metric?
Huh.
And what is our take on that?
Bankless Nation, it's roll-up time, and I think, David, this is our last roll-up of 2023. So happy holidays to the Bankless Nation, wherever you are listening. Man, it's been a crazy year, hasn't it?
It certainly has. It's our last weekly roll-up. Next week, the Bankless listeners are going to get the yearly roll-up. We're doing a whole entire year, and that's going to ship, of course, the last week of December.
And we know that because we pre-recorded it this week.
So,
we are not working during the holidays, but during next week, actually, I think we're releasing 4 podcasts?
Mm-hmm.
Something crazy.
We have some pent up. You know it's a bull market when we are doing minimum 1 podcast a day, and sometimes people is doing 2.
You will have so much content.
So much content.
Unwrapping presents next week. So hope you guys enjoy. But David, we got a packed agenda today. What's first on our list?
Inscriptions have had their exodus from Bitcoin and now are infecting every single chain that it can get its hands on. One by one by one, the inscription locuses are taking down chains. We're going to talk about that.
A big clog, I guess, like you're clogging up your drain pipes. I want to hear your take on that.
I don't think that one's going to stick.
We also have commercials. Hopefully these stick. Bitwise released its first Bitcoin ETF.
I think the big question is how many millions of people are going to see the Bitcoin ETF? But after that, Elizabeth Warren writes a nasty gram to our entire industry telling to us to stop defending ourselves and just bow down and take it.
Why are you fighting back?
Then we got a ton of crypto native stuff to talk about as well. What else is coming up?
EigenLayer, they hit $1 billion in ETH, total locked value. So restaking, that narrative is heating up. I think we'll see a lot more of that in 2024. I know we got some episodes tuned. David, we got to tell them before we get in about this fantastic wallet that's coming. This is a next generation wallet because it's based on smart contract technology. Tell them what it is.
The word smart in it. Yeah. So the Ambire team is launching its V2 wallet. Ambire was one of the first smart contract wallets to really ship a wallet into mainnet, into users' hands. They're launching V2, updated for the year 2024 through a browser extension. So browser extension wallet, like we already know, except when you click on it, you get a smart contract wallet, not a vanilla EOA wallet. So entering, of course, the world of account abstraction and smart contract wallets. There's a bunch of things that Ambire Wallet can do for you. If you want to feel the power of a smart contract wallet, there is a link in the show notes, bankless.cc/ambire-v2. Probably just go click the link.
Oh, definitely go click the link. This is something you're going to want to test. It also works with the hardware wallets too. So Trezor, Ledger, Grid Plus, Lattice, whatever hardware wallet you have. David, we got something else to mention too, because you are right now, you're in the state of Washington. So you're just outside of Seattle somewhere, I believe, recording from your childhood room, I think. Although you correct me. Not your childhood.
Crypto childhood. Not childhood.
Yeah, a different kind of childhood where you're maybe born again into crypto. Oh, God.
That's definitely how it felt.
A little too religious here. Okay. But you're going to Argentina. Is that right? Yep. Tell us about it, David. How can we experience a Bankless in Argentina?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked. There is a Bankless meetup in Argentina, Friday, January 5th. TBD if on that date. That is the current date that is locked in. But we have 100 slots. And in the 1 hour that I sent this invitation out, 88 people.
He's telling you it's already signed up.
So we might need to move it a different day. TBD might be Thursday. If it's not Friday, it's Thursday. No. Okay. So on Friday, you can't rent out the whole bar. You can only rent out a part of the bar, which is what we did. On Thursday, we could rent out the whole bar. Anyways, either on Friday, the current time is Friday, January 5th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the wine bar in Palermo, in the Palermo neighborhood. If we get so much more demand, which I'm guessing we are, we might move it to Thursday. Might ask to move it to
Thursday. Because David is spending, I believe, 2 weeks in January, Argentina?
1 week in Buenos Aires, 1 week in El Chalten, 1 week in Torres del Paine. Yeah.
Well, I really want to hear what the crypto scene is like in Argentina because I know I've
Yo no sé cuántos personas escucha a Bankless en Buenos Aires, pero apparently mucho. Mucho personas.
Yes, absolutely. So if you want to see David in Argentina, go check that out. All right, Dave, let's talk about the markets this week, shall we? Bitcoin price. And this is like the year ender because I don't think we give like up-to-date prices in the yearly rollup.
We gave this, yesterday's prices in the yearly rollup. Today we give today's prices, which is actually yesterday for current listeners.
There's, So once again,
we don't know why we do this section.
We don't know why we do it, but thanks to Kraken, because I know these charts are looking really good and they've held us up all year. Like, you know what? Let's just salute Kraken, salute these charts, salute our progress.
Sir, if you want to scroll out, you need to set larger candles. You are at the 1 hour candles. You need to go to one day candles.
Thank you, David. There. Here we go. One day. This is what 2020. I like the charts, the yearly charts. Yeah. This is what 2023 looked like for us.
Exclusively up. That is an up chart.
Woo! We started at 16K.
We started the year with a short squeeze from 16K over to like 23. $3,000 on Bitcoin.
Look at us now. Look at us now. They told us look at us was now.
$44,000 Bitcoin.
Great year for Bitcoin. And how was that on the week, David? Tell me about that, because I know that's important in the rollup.
We got some, you know, some muted response at the top of the market cap stack. Bitcoin up 1% on the week, but you know, 1% a week, can't complain about that. Bitcoin starting the week at 43,100. Ending the week at 43,500, up a modest 1%. We love it. We love it.
I think that's about 153% on the year. So big year for Bitcoin here. Let's give the same treatment to Ethereum. I'm going to zoom all the way out on the Kraken charts here. Okay, the beginning of January 2023, we were 1,200 ETH price. Just above, not lows, but just above 1,000 ETH. Now where are we?
We are at $2,200. So a choppy, crabby up chart for ETH. That is a uppy crab pattern right
makes
there.
Makes me a little crabby. I feel like it should be higher.
It's okay, up, well, like why is ETH like not following the market, not trending with the market? I mean, there's 10,000 different answers. One of the answers is that it like overperformed versus the market in 2022. ETH was the best asset to hold in 2022. You lost the least amount of money. If you were down further in the market cap, like you lost more money. And so part of ETH's lack of performance in 2023 was because of, you know, it was overperformed in 2022. It was the consensus bet to hold in 2022. And then as soon as risk went on the table, there was like, why would you buy ETH? Everyone already has ETH. It's not going to pump like some of the low market cap stack. And then also like Celsius has been, I think we're going to talk about this. Celsius has been dumping like a bajillion dollars, $250 million of ETH over the last week. And Michael Saylor has been buying a ton of Bitcoin. And so ETH can just not capture a narrative. It can't capture a wind.
I think some people would look at this and be like, guys, you're 80% up. Like be thankful for that. People in, you know, the stock market.
Trad people.
You're like, you almost doubled. Like, why are you upset about that? But I think ETH has had an okay year, but not a strong year for sure. So we'll have to see whether that.
I mean, think about this. Bitcoin started the year at $16,000, ending the year at $43,000. That's almost a 3x. Mm-hmm. That's almost a tripling. To say like ETH almost doubled, these are like different numbers.
Yeah, I know. Okay, how about the ratio? Down or up?
Little down, 0.051. It touched 0.05. It touches basically the low that has been in a long ass time.
Nobody's looking at the ratio except for the Bankless Weekly roll up now. Total crypto market cap, 1.7 trillion. So the lows, if I recall it, January 1st of 2023 were about 800 billion, maybe 840, 850 billion or so. So that's like a nice doubling on total crypto market cap.
Oh, more than a doubling, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, pretty impressive. How about layer twos? What did we see in terms of growth?
Layer twos had an astounding year in 2023. At the start of 2023, we had $3 billion deposited onto layer twos. We currently have $16 billion. I outperformed most metrics in terms of dollar value out of anything that you can see. And then activity, actually like usage of layer twos, I think also did a nice old like 7x. We are currently at 7 Ethereums, setting new highs thanks to inscriptions. We'll talk about that in a second. But setting new highs, and I would say accelerating highs in terms of layer two activity dominance.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me about the movers, because we got some lower down the stack market cap movers. We talk about a couple of tokens. Which one do you want to pick out this week, David?
The one that is unequivocally at the top of the chart run this week is Say. Say with a 50% move week over week and 140% move on the 30-day time period. So Say, what is what's the market cap of Say right now? It is, scroll up a little bit, fully diluted valuation, $4 billion. $4 billion with a float of $900 million. So like 4-to-1-ish float.
What does it say? One of these, people don't remember.
It's, I think it's a parallelized EVM. I think they just pivoted into being a parallelized Ethereum virtual machine chain. And there's a crop of these showing up recently. And I kind of think it's going to be a pretty hot narrative in 2024. Layer ones that are using the Ethereum virtual machine, but they've, you know, taken it, they've deconstructed it and then recomposed it to be just far more performant, far more parallelized. Yep. Monad is doing this, Say pivoted to doing this because they realized the Monad strategy was correct. I think that's going to be a big thing
I think so. I think we'll get Monad sometime in like the first half of 2024, which will be another one to this list. Mm-hmm. And you could see kind of the justification for it. It to me, it kind of flows down from Ethereum. So you have Ethereum, what's that, you know, 250 billion or so market cap. And what is Solana now? Is that about 40 billion market cap, something like
37.
And then you have Say over here, and people are like, well, if this is like Solana but faster and EVM, and it's only $4 billion,
we like about the EVM and none of the baggage of the EVM.
So if it was valued at Solana's valuation, right, it would be a nice 10x, right? And that's how these types of mm-hmm. markets work, now that you have a narrative which seems to have some product market fit. Narrative, like fundamentals, who knows? You can't really separate the two during the bull market in this way. It has to kind of burn off during the bear. But yeah, you see this. Look, they're benchmarking Solana, and they're saying, yeah, Solana does 10,000 TPS. We do 20,000.
We're do 20,000
parallelized. Yeah, it's a high TPS layer one season. That's what it's been for the last couple of months.
Moving on back to Bitcoin. You saw this commercial going out this week, Ryan. This is a commercial from Matt Hogan from Bitwise. He's been on the podcast a couple of times. I actually learned a few things about ETF and stock market commercials. You can't actually advertise the ETF. You can't say buy the ETF.
Really?
You can't show the ticker on the commercial at all. You can't advertise the ETF. Just, securities regulations can't sell financial products on TV commercials. Okay. We can sell pharmaceutical drugs here in America on TV commercials, but you can't sell financial instruments.
Yeah, because finance is dangerous.
Yeah, right. Okay, so with that context, here is the Bitwise Bitcoin commercial. It's going to be a little bit rough for you podcast listeners, but we'll unpack it afterwards.
You know what's interesting these days? Bitcoin. Look for Bitwise, my friends.
Hey, David, it feels good to have the most interesting man in the world shilling our bags right now. I got to say, that's a good commercial. Well done, Bitwise.
Just good branding. Well, Bitwise, it's a great name. It's a great name for like normies to understand. Bit as in Bitcoin, wise as in wisdom. Like, this is a financial word. Like, this matters.
And hey, you can't pick a favorite ETF, David. You can't.
Can. I pick a favorite chain. I can pick a favorite ETF.
Oh, really? Yeah. You're supposed to be more agnostic, more neutral than that. What about VanEck? They got the HODL meme. Remember, had Matt Siegel.
VanEck's great.
But are they your favorite? How about BlackRock? What if Larry Fink comes on bankless?
BlackRock is going to be just fine with or without my support. Like, they don't need me at all. They already own the world.
I like Matt Hogan. So
we like Matt. We like Bitwise.
A message to all the Bitcoin ETFs out here: you have to compete for our love.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you with commercials.
With commercials or whatever mechanism you have. David, here's a question for you. As we end the year, phishing schemes have really picked up, like people trying to pickpocket your crypto wallet and doing
pretty
it
bad.
Badly. How much do you think has been stolen the last couple of years by phishing attacks on crypto?
Last two years, 2022 and 2023. Over 100 million.
You're right, over 100 million, and that feels like a very safe bet. It's 10x that. It's $1 billion, okay, drained. So there's actually
looking at the notes, $1 billion since May of 2021.
Okay, so that's two and a half years.
It was 800 plus million in 2022 and 2023.
Okay, what did I say that's different?
You said we can just run with that. You can just take the correction.
I don't want to take corrections. No, that's out of scope.
Get corrected, bro. Live.
Just take the L. Take the L. Shut up, Ryan. Okay. So and here's the interesting stat about that, David. There's actually more last year in terms of total value drained than this year, which it feels like it's really intensified this year. But last year was about $500 million. This year it was $370 million.
Yeah, but last year our price assets were priced higher.
Exactly. So they probably stole more in units, but got less value. Maybe that was it. The largest phishing scam so far was $44.3 million. This is crazy. And according to the Chainalysis, by the way, this billion-dollar figure is just the tip of the iceberg. So there's a lot that might not actually be measured in these estimates. It's a problem we have to solve, man. It's a problem crypto has to solve.
The worst thing about these numbers, like, okay, 2023, there was $376 million fished. 2022, $516 million fished. Like, sadly, phishing attacks are also like long tail attacks. So they're not like fat tail attacks where like the wormhole bridge gets hacked and then Jump Capital spends $1 billion to bail them out. These are like individuals. These are individuals clicking links on Twitter, in Discord. Like these are individuals losing money. It's not, sadly, it is like the worst type of loss.
Well, you can imagine when AI gets combined in here where you could have like somebody like deep fake call you and pretend to be like your mom or your grandmother or something like this. Like, you can really ramp up the scale of these attacks. So, you know, my method is I just don't trust anybody, David.
I just don't trust anyone. Not even you.
Yeah, you shouldn't trust me. Somebody could be deep faking you. You can log on a fake Ryan on a Zoom and deep fake me.
Like, here's a prediction for 2024. Somebody will use AI and all of the data of you and me on YouTube to recreate a video about just like how everyone should click this link and ape into this one airdrop or something like this. And that will go out on Twitter and it will be our likeness. And that will probably happen in 2024.
Will we get sued for that? That'll be a problem.
Oh, God, maybe.
Because of our likeness? I don't think so. You can't get sued for that.
Well,
they would start with Vitalik. We're far less trustworthy than Vitalik, but you know, maybe we're the long tail of phishing deep fakes.
This is probably a global call to action for people who are about to have a bunch of text messages from their friend saying, "Hey, like, what should I do when I get into crypto?" Like, give them your answer and then tell them. And if you're not careful, you will be phished, and you need to be very cautious. Like, that should come with your onboarding statements to your friends and family.
It's a big UX problem for sure. David, let's talk about a flippening of a different kind. You teased it during the intro, and you say it.
Solana has recently flipped Ethereum in DEX volumes. So I think on Monday or Tuesday of this week, Solana had $1.5 billion in total DEX volumes on chain, and Ethereum had 1.1. This has since reverted. Ethereum has 1.6 currently, and Solana has 1.59 currently. So pretty close, actually, pretty neck and neck. So I guess congrats to the Solana DEX ecosystem for flipping volumes. Now, I will say, here is my caveat to that. When you have extremely low fees, painting $1 million in volume costs very, very little. That's the feature of the Solana blockchain. And I think we're going to enter this bull market and all these people are going to compete on narratives and stuff. And not all narratives are apples to apples. Like, Solana has less TVL, less stables on Solana, and it's doing like more movement per stable coin on Solana than on other chains, which is cool because that makes it a great payments chain. But having low TVL makes you not a great DeFi chain because that means your liquidity is not that great. You get to have a lot of DEX volumes on a lot of low supply of coins because your transactions are very, very cheap. And so just brute forcing these comparisons to be apples to apples, we need to take facts and circumstances in. Like, I can go take like $500. I can buy one USDC and I can spend all that $500 on that, spending that one USDC, and I can create like some $10 million of volume sending that one USDC around. And so these are some of the nuances between these two chains, not to diminish or belittle the fact that, like, you know, that's like $1.6 of volume going on Solana DEXs. That's a number. And if we want to be sophisticated in our understanding for how these chains work, we need to understand that differences in gas fees do create differences in how these metrics need to be evaluated.
Yeah, I think all that's true. And it's also true that this is a pretty massive accomplishment for Solana. And the first time ever, it's actually surpassed Ethereum in terms of volume. Mm-hmm. And all those points. Like, I think when transaction fees are low, there's obviously a lot of wash trading that could happen. So you can't take one of these metrics and be like, this is the one. But I don't think sensible people really do that. I also think the other thing you need to take into account, of course, is all of the other layer twos. It's interesting that there's like Ethereum, Arbitrum, and like Ethereum and Arbitrum.
Oh, this is Solana versus the Ethereum layer one. Oh, they're not including Ethereum layer twos.
It's still a big freaking deal, right? Because
there's $700 million of trading on Arbitrum. That would put Ethereum between add all the other layer twos. Like,
this is part of the problem with the Ethereum narrative right now. It's like, it's kind of fractured across all of these sub brands. Like, you know, Arbitrum is Ethereum, but people don't see that. They see just Arbitrum or they see Optimism. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a big move from Solana. And that's not the only flipping, David. Actually, Sol price.
Oh, okay.
The price of Sol.
We like this one.
Just passed the price of XRP.
We like
of Ripple right now.
We like that.
So
we like Solana being on top of the bank chain. That is deserved for sure.
Yeah. Why do you like that? Because you think XRP is a security, David? Is that what you think?
No, that's just a coin by banks for banks. I don't enjoy Ripple.
I've never understood why Ripple is valued. It's still valued at $33 billion.
Yeah.
So I wish I could say there's something there, but I don't know what's actually there.
Solana 100% deserves to be above Ripple.
Okay, so it's number five, and by the way, maybe closing in on Ethereum. It's got a cool 8x to go before it flips Ethereum. So we'll see what's in store for 2024. Meanwhile, Celsius is absolutely dumping on you, ETH holder. On-chain data shows that Celsius, you remember Celsius, Alex Mashinsky's old scam, banks are not your friend, and apparently neither was Celsius. Celsius was your worst enemy. They are now selling, as a result of their bankruptcy, a lot of their ETH. And I say their ETH, but it's really customer deposits ETH.
It's really your ETH. Yeah.
So they're dumping on you with your own assets. Wow. Insult to injury. Over the past 30 days, they sold 243 million ETH. And the good news is they got to run out sometime. I think they're getting closer, although they don't have a stat. Do you know how much more ETH they have to dump on us, David?
I don't know. I kind of assumed that they would be done, but what the hell do I know? $250 million is a pretty good amount.
Yeah, that's true. And I also know that the FTX bankruptcy has a lot of assets that will be available on the market here soon. So some of the bankruptcies are getting cleaned up. Yeah. So what do you think of all that? Is this part of the downward pressure that ETH is feeling?
Well, yeah. So like why the Bitcoin ETH ratio, like why is that down so bad? It's like, because Michael Saylor bought like $800 million of Bitcoin in the last like quarter. Why is ETH not able to catch a bid? Oh, because Celsius just sold $240 million of ETH in the past 30 days. Like ETH is just taking just wallop after wallop after wallop. And like there's this actually like fantastic synergy for the Solana narrative, whereas like Solana is actually still like pretty small in comparison to Ethereum. Like it's got a ton of energy, but in the grand scheme of things it's kind of still just like a speck. And so like it's not Ether that's vacating Ether going to Solana, but it does appear like that in the simultaneous nature of Michael Saylor buying a F ton of Bitcoin and the ETH BTC ratio going down and Celsius selling all of his Ether. And so the ETH is just underperforming. Meanwhile, coincidentally, Solana is having a renaissance of its narrative. And I think like all of these things are like lined up to make like Ether the currently probably the most hated asset I have ever seen in the crypto meta in my entire time.
Well, people say that I had that tweet earlier this week, and people said that Ethereum has a persecution complex. It's still number two. It's still $250 billion.
That's like them playing both sides, right? Like when it comes time for ETH to be defended, they're like, why are you defending yourself? You're number two. But it's just like, if you go onto Twitter, just like it's totally universal.
I think that 2024 will kind of be the year. This is just partway through the story. So let's see what happens in 2024 for sure. David, what do we have coming up next?
Coming up next, inscription locuses are out of control, plaguing all the chains, hopping from chain to chain to chain, heating them dry as they go. That's a bad image. Second up, Elizabeth Warren, even worse image, with a holiday nastygram for all of us here in crypto. But before all of that, a moment to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible, especially Kraken, who's been with us throughout 2023 and is fighting the SEC, and we appreciate them so much for it. And it will also be our favorite exchange in 2024 as well. If you do not have an account with Kraken, what are you waiting for?
Click
the link in the show notes. Kraken knows crypto. Kraken's been in the crypto game for over a decade. And as one of the largest and most trusted exchanges in the industry, Kraken is on the journey with all of us to see what crypto can be. Human history is a story of progress. It's part of us, hardwired. We're designed to seek change everywhere, to improve, to strive. And if anything can be improved, why not finance? Crypto is a financial system designed with the modern world in mind. Instant, permissionless, and 24/7. It's not perfect, and nothing ever will be perfect. But crypto is a world-changing technology at a time when the world needs it the most. That's the Kraken mission, to accelerate the global adoption of cryptocurrency so that you and the rest of the world can achieve financial freedom and inclusion. Head on over to kraken.com/bankless to see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Cryptocurrency services are provided to U.S. and U.S. territory customers by Payward Ventures Inc. PVI, doing business as Kraken. Celo is the mobile-first, EVM-compatible, carbon-negative blockchain built for the real world. And now, something big is happening. Introducing the Celo Layer 2. It's a game-changing proposal that's going to bring Celo's rapidly growing ecosystem home to Ethereum. Vitalik has shared his excitement for the Celo Layer 2 on the Celo forum, so has Ben Jones from Optimism. But why? The Celo Layer 2 will bring huge advantages, like a decentralized sequencer, off-chain data availability, and one-block finality. What does all that mean? Rock-solid security, a trustless bridge to Ethereum, and more real-world use cases for Ethereum without compromise. And real-world adoption is happening. Active addresses on Celo have grown over 500% in the last 6 months. With the Celo Layer 2, gas fees will stay low, and you can even pay for gas using ERC20 tokens. But Celo is a community-governed protocol. This means that Celo needs you to weigh in and make your voice heard. Join the conversation in the Celo forum. Follow @Celo.org on Twitter and visit Celo.org to shape the future of Ethereum. Arbitrum is accelerating the Web3 landscape with a suite of secure Ethereum scaling solutions. Hundreds of projects have already deployed onto Arbitrum One. With a flourishing DeFi and NFT ecosystem, Arbitrum Nova is quickly becoming a Web3 gaming hub, and social dApps like Reddit are also calling Arbitrum home. And now, Arbitrum Orbit allows you to use Arbitrum's secure scaling technology to build your own Layer 3, giving you access to interoperable, customizable permissions with dedicated throughput. All of these technologies leverage the security and decentralization of Ethereum and provide a builder experience that's intuitive, familiar, and fully EVM compatible. Faster transaction speeds and significantly lower gas fees. Arbitrum empowers you to explore and build without compromise. Visit arbitrum.io, where you can join the community, dive into the developer docs, bridge your assets, and start building your first app on Arbitrum.
Inscriptions, they're invading everywhere. They're clogging up our chains. David, what are inscriptions, and why are they taking down multiple chains this week and causing massive gas spikes?
So inscriptions were the ordinals phenomenon that came out of Bitcoin, where you could write arbitrary data to a single Satoshi, which unlocked a bunch of cool features, starting with NFTs, but really expanding from there. And then that same primitive has hopped to other chains, where what are inscriptions? They are just using chains as data availability chains. All chains are data availability chains to some degree, and they're writing inscriptions. They're writing packets of data, bundles of data, what kind of data, whatever data you want, open-ended, like Turing complete, fully expressive. And so they write just a packet of data onto chains, and it is very resource intensive because data is the thing that is expensive in the crypto world. So inscriptions are just going from chain to chain to chain. Who's bringing them there? I don't really know. Kind of the free market. A lot of bots. A lot of this is bot activity because there's no way that you can take down a chain without just having just... It's basically spam. It's basically spam.
Well, you call it spam, but I, you know, I don't know if it... Like, I don't know if that's entirely true, right? So for Bitcoin, you know, famously earlier this year, they've been using inscriptions for like a primitive NFT type of network. And for... Yep. Containing BRC20s, which are right. Like Bitcoin's kind of version of a token. And they've
it's not spam. But when inscriptions show up on Arbitrum and then take down the chain 2 days later, or that's because like people just botted the hell out of it. If it's spam, if it's bots.
I don't even know if I could get behind that. Low utility. They pay the same gas fees that everybody else does for
yeah, but the data that we're putting on chain is not, it's not interoperable. It's for one single purpose. Like very few number of people care. Sure, Ryan, one person cares, but what does that do to the Arbitrum or Celestia or Polygon? I think these even happen on Solana. These don't benefit. There's no welfare for users here, right? There's no global usefulness from these things.
But so it's not, are you saying it's not out of bounds of the, like the protocol's ability to do it, but you think it's like outside of kind of like some loose social contract of like what's quote unquote utility or what's valuable, and you're saying it's you're not shunning inscriptions though, you're just like observing it and being like, that's annoying.
It's it's an annoying thing. Like if I took one ether and I like took all of that gas money and just loaded up dick butts and placed that on the Ethereum layer
I'd be annoyed by that.
That would be annoying. That would be annoying for me.
Okay, I didn't expect to get in a debate over inscription. So let's put that aside. I don't know how I feel about them, like spam or not. Anyway, let's talk about what they've been doing on other chains, non-Bitcoin chains. So I said they've taken down multiple chains. What's been going on over the past week?
So Arbitrum's sequencer briefly stopped working because they were just overloaded with transactions, specifically like just BRC20 tokens on other chains, which is like totally an anachronism, but like whatever. Avalanche, Kronos, ZK Sync also experienced degraded performance. It briefly also hit Celestia as well. Celestia, I believe, stopped producing blocks, bro.
Wow.
I think that Celestia hasn't confirmed that, but people are like, Celestia Block Explorer has stopped showing anything for like 20 minutes, even plus. And so, yeah, it's kind of nuts. It's just like consuming the resources of all the chains in a very relatively cheap manner. It's kind of a question of resource pricing. Like if we are spamming chains because data on these chains are cheap, and they're also taking down the chains, well, then either we need to figure out our shit or we need to increase the cost of data. One of these two things. But I think it's good because every single network is being stress tested at the moment in a, like a live production real environment.
And there it's not happening on Ethereum though. Why is that? It's just too expensive.
It's too expensive and Ethereum has perfect liveness.
So it's just people can't afford to spam the network using call data because there are higher value use cases that, purchase that block space ahead of Ethereum.
Yeah, Ethereum call data space is, you know, meant to be for layer two chains and people who have a ton of ETH.
High execution, like high TPS execution environments are definitely going to have to deal with this, right? This Sybil attack, this really, it's very cheap to Sybil attack a chain with like quote unquote spam.
Here's a tweet from Hunter from the Arbitrum team where he says, Arbitrum 1 hit an all-time high of 4.3 transactions in 24 hours today. That was the 4.3 million transactions in one day from inscriptions. And if you can go to like a layer 2B and you'll see just like the massive spike in activity. And so he says, but cooler than numbers was the incredible support for that came from the other layer 2s and layer 1s for the Arbitrum community. Feels like we're going to see more camaraderie as this bull market kicks into gear. And yes, I'm excited.
Oh, I hope so. Distributed
sequencing. So yeah, distributed sequencing where rather than having one single extremely high performance sequencer and splitting that into like two or three or four can maintain liveness while still having like the vast majority of the scale, like reducing total scale, total throughput by just like a few percentage points, but then also like having, you know, 99.9% uptime. And like I said, this is ultimately going to be good for all chains because we're all going to get stress tested by like bullshit before we get stress tested by normies with their bullshit. Meanwhile, just to say, just inscriptions started on Bitcoin, haven't left Bitcoin either. So inscriptions continuing to surge there as well. There's almost 300,000 unconfirmed transactions. Oh, there are 350,000 unconfirmed transactions in the Bitcoin mempool. $37 per Bitcoin, the typical transaction in Bitcoin over this last week.
But when they're on the Bitcoin, David, they're not spam, right?
Yeah, you know, when they're on Bitcoin, they're not spam.
We don't have to open that again.
Because, like, I don't know. This is all.
Let's move on. Gary Gensler and Elizabeth Warren, the anti-crypto army, the generals in the anti-crypto army, they are on the attack again this week. They couldn't even give us a break during the holidays, David. Can you believe that? So today, this
coming
is Gary Gensler
tweeting. Weak and lazy and
the commission denied a petition for rulemaking filed on behalf of Coinbase. You remember a few months ago, Coinbase was just like, hey, SEC.
Please give us rules.
Can you give us like clarity on the rules? And the SEC didn't respond. You like denied, you know, providing clarity.
Held out to the buzzer.
Yeah. And then so the Coinbase was like, fine, we'll get a court to make you. All right. And this is the court made the SEC respond. And
they didn't make the SEC provide rules.
No.
They made the SEC respond to the inquiry about whether they are going to provide rules or not.
Yeah. And I don't know if you want to hear what Gary actually wrote, but he published his own sort of a statement on the SEC website. First, existing laws and regulations apply to the crypto securities market. We already have the laws. Second, the SEC addresses the crypto securities markets through rulemaking as well. We already do rulemaking. You already have the clarity that you need. Third, it is important to maintain commission discretion in setting its own rulemaking priorities. You can't force us to do anything. Basically, you already have what you need, and like, don't come to me like asking for more clarity. You know, that's what Gary is saying here.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for the help.
We appreciate it. Merry Christmas. This is Paul Grewal from Coinbase saying, today the SEC denied Coinbase's petition for rules for crypto after 18 months of silence. Oh, wow. It was 18 months, David. Mm-hmm. We went to the court to get the response that the law requires. With appreciation for the Third Circuit, later today, we'll again seek its help. So they're going to
appeal this again. We're going to do that. We're going to keep going.
No, we actually want an answer. Like, we actually deserve an answer from our regulators on like just some basic rules for clarity on what's a security and what's not. CFTC is saying things are not securities. The SEC is saying something different. It won't really tell crypto what's a security. It's just dropping these charges.
Yeah, and Coinbase is really gearing up for the big fight. They're keeping the furnace warm with the SEC by continuing to not back down versus the SEC. But then also this week, they're also launching a super PAC. I don't know if it's fair to say Coinbase is launching it, a super PAC, a political action committee, a lobbyist group for crypto. So the Fairshake super PAC is a brand new political action committee on the scene and all of its affiliates representing the nation's crypto community. And they have raised, Ryan, $78 million, 20 companies and leading voices inside of the industry to support bipartisan crypto forward candidates in 2024. So $78 million, which is a large amount, going to help support crypto politicians raised in only Q4, Ryan.
Yeah, so you gotta do it.
It's a federal independent committee supporting candidates committing to securing the U.S. as the home to innovators building the next generation of the internet. So where did this $78 million come from? Andreessen Horowitz, Brian Armstrong himself, Circle and Coinbase, of course, Kraken, Framework Ventures, Jump Crypto, Multicoin Capital, Paradigm. So basically Coinbase and the VCs. Which is great. And I think that is just the perfect role for these particular players, like the exchanges, Coinbase, Kraken, and the VCs, like the big leaders who have a lot of capital in this space, who have the most to gain and the most to lose, right? But also, like, there's plenty of place for us as individuals, plenty of ways to help out. Go to standwithcrypto.org if you want to learn more.
Yeah. Call your congressperson, email congressperson.
That's the thing you can do.
There's lots individuals can do. But I will say Elizabeth Warren did not like the industry fighting back against this.
She didn't like this?
No, this is where we get to the nasty gram. And she sent this letter not only to Coinbase, but to the Blockchain Association, which is a crypto-friendly education lobbyist group in DC. Kristen Smith there, who we've met before, is the CEO. She's fantastic. She also sent it. They also sent it to Coin Center. Okay, the same templated letter. So here's Jerry Brito. He calls this, Coin Center received the same impertinent letter from Elizabeth Warren as the BA and Coinbase. That's the Blockchain Association. Read it for yourself to see what a bullying publicity stunt is. So I did read it for myself. Basically, Elizabeth Warren is saying, crypto is, you know, like being facilitated by Hamas for terrorism. That's like super obvious. And then she referred
the Wall Street Journal article
that's been debunked
clearly debunked.
For 2 months. It's been freaking debunked many times. Anyway, she's like, look, crypto and terrorism, they're basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then she goes on and says, if you like Coin Center, Coinbase, how dare you get people from the government or used to be employed by the government, like working on your behalf, right? Because she's upset that crypto has hired people from DC to like push back against this. And she has asked for
it. By the way, how politics in America is this? It's
maybe, in every industry.
It's how it works.
I hate that we have to spend $80 million on a super PAC. I hate that we have to do that.
Get money out of financing.
But what's the alternative? Don't defend yourself.
Because the banks are doing it.
Let them slap us around.
Yeah.
What do we do?
The banks are doing the revolving door. The banks are supporting Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, at least ours.
We can't do it.
At least ours leads to like individual rights. Like it's not fighting for like it's at least ours is fighting for digital civil liberties, like holding your own private key and running your own validator. Okay, like ours is actually doing something productive for the individual, not just fighting on behalf of a bunch of rights. Anyway, she asks in this letter that all of these organizations who she sent the letter to tell them how many former military, civilian, government officials, or members of Congress are on their payroll, and yeah. like list them
it's,
all
it's
out.
Kind of a demand. It's a little
it's
bit.
It's 100%. What do you?
Therefore, I ask you to provide the answers to these questions, to the following questions, no later than January 14th, 2024. How many former military, civilian, government officials, or members of Congress are currently employed on behalf or by your organization?
Yeah.
For all of the officials listed in question one, please provide a summary of their responsibilities. Are they registered lobbyists? Blah 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 blah. It's like it's more like you don't really care about these answers. No, you're just being mean.
It's a PR stunt to just basically say crypto plus Hamas. And they're using the revolving door of DC to like influence us. Look at these corrupt people. That's what she's doing. And like, she doesn't actually expect a reply.
It feels like an inquisition.
Oh, it's doubt. Yeah, this is. Yeah, it's and she knows it's not going to be effective. Anyway, that's what the anti-crypto army is doing. Austin Campbell had a take. I never thought I would see the day when Elizabeth Warren became a proud champion of big banks. Isn't that sad? You know, I remember when she rose on the scene. It was like for me. Anyway, my first exposure to Elizabeth Warren in the aftermath of, you know, the 2008 financial crisis. Mm-hmm. And she was like, anti-bank.
Right.
And it was just like, hey, we got to rein. Like, why are they getting bailouts? It's kind of like the whole Bernie Sanders message. You remember those days?
Yep.
Feels very different from that. Here she is like partnering with Jamie Dimon, basically saying, yeah, all crypto surveillance states, you know, scams and frauds. And let's clamp down. Meanwhile, this is a peer-to-peer decentralized money system for the people, by the people, mm-hmm. bottom up. And why would she be on the bankers and the institution side for that? It doesn't make sense. It's not consistent with what her messaging used to be. I'm pretty disappointed as well. I share Austin Campbell's sentiments there.
I've talked to friends of a friend who the friend that I was not talking to, the one removed, who was a previous intern for Senator Warren's office, says it was kind of just like a very top down, like shrill. Did not respect the interns, was like fall in line, do as you're told, kind of crabs in the bucket environment.
Oh yeah. I wonder if other political internships are like that, but anyway, not loving what I'm seeing. We'll see if the tables turn in 2024, but we've got some defensive mechanisms at least, David. What do we have coming up next?
Coming up next, we got some crypto things to talk about.
Yay.
Thank Lord. EigenLayer has raised its cap and then it got filled inside of 48 hours. $1 billion has been deposited into EigenLayer. We're going to talk about that. And also, Ryan, did you notice that first the Solana phone was kind of marked up as a flop and then 15,000 units got sold last week? What the hell happened there? And then finally, ZK Sync has struck another win with a new centralized exchange layer 2 from blockchain. From crypto.com, their new Kronos chain can become a ZK Sync chain. We'll unpack that. But first, a moment to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible.
With MetaMask Portfolio, swapping tokens on-chain has never been easier. Swap tokens at any time with the most competitive pricing around. The MetaMask Portfolio swap feature allows you to swap tokens directly by aggregating and comparing various decentralized exchanges to ensure you get competitive prices and low network fees. Choose the token you want to swap from and what you want to swap into, and tap into combined liquidity across providers all automatically. Within MetaMask Portfolio, you can easily swap tokens with low fees, fewer approvals, and slippage protection for all of your trades. Manage your Web3 everything at metamask.io/portfolio.
Are you launching a token? Is it already live? How are you managing the legal and tax for providing token awards for your team? Toku simplifies everything about managing token grant compensation, and you can get started with them for free. You'll have access to top-notch legal and tax support to handle the distribution and management of tokens for your team. Toku caters to every step in the process, from user-friendly legal templates for granting tokens to tracking vesting periods and calculating withholding taxes. Toku understands every grant structure, token purchase agreements, restricted token awards, restricted token units, token options, and all the other ones. Toku is already simplifying this today for leading companies like Protocol Labs, DYDX Foundation, MENA Foundation, and many more. You can learn more about how Toku can help you streamline your token management and get started for free. Visit Toku at toku.com/bankless or click the link in the description below.
EigenLayer hits $1 billion deposited into the EigenLayer restaking system. So they added 6 new liquid staking tokens, Stakewise, Swell Network, Stator Labs, Binance B ETH, Origin Protocol, Anchor ETH, and then they also raised the Lido staked ETH cap all of that got failed immediately. The heat and the energy around EigenLayer and restaking is definitely crescendoing. Liquid restaking tokens, Ryan, have just absolutely captivated my attention lately. I'm going to write an article about that. Liquid restaking tokens, I think, is the next meta. I think this airdrop mania and the growth around EigenLayer and the number of liquid restaking tokens is kind of a bunch of
TLDR is you can use Ether, the monetary unit of Ether, to secure all sorts of other apps. We call these ABSs, right? What is ABS stand for?
TLDR of restaking. Liquid restaking tokens is just like liquid staking tokens, but you also get the restaking yields of EigenLayer baked into these liquid restaking tokens. So like the whole LST war is starting brand new again, starting fresh with the liquid restaking wars, and I'm absolutely here for
it.
It's going to be a huge theme in 2024.
This is Sriram saying, Ethereum expanded on Bitcoin but could not be built on it. EigenLayer expands on Ethereum by building on it. You know, Sriram definitely putting out kind of some narrative tweets here about Ethereum alignment as well.
Ethereum acceleration, not necessarily Ethereum alignment. We're going for acceleration.
Different A?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's acceleration, particularly of ETH asset, ETH, I would say.
Yeah, ETH asset, ETH yields, ETH the monetary unit being accelerated by EigenLayer.
ETH becomes more
ETH
money.
ACK. ETH ACK.
Maybe bring ETH's money back for 2024.
Oh,
here.
ETH has always been money.
I know.
More money. Yeah.
But people forgot. David says, things you're not bullish enough on ETH and restaking. That's
you
a good way to summarize
things
it.
Together. You have ETH acceleration. All right, ZK Sync got a new layer 2 joining the Hyperchain. What is a Hyperchain? That is the ZK Sync version of the Optimism Superchain. Kronos has announced the launch of their layer 2, the Kronos ZK EVM, joining the ZK Sync Hyperchain. So crypto.com, actually a pretty large exchange, going to have its ZK EVM on a Hyperchain.
This is cool too. Celestia, of course, a DA layer, so data availability layer. They've launched, of course, and many folks got an airdrop from this, worth a lot actually. Celestia is now available for builders on Arbitrum Orbit. So with Arbitrum Orbit, you can select a non-Ethereum DA layer if you'd like. And Celestia is now an option for that. I was actually curious, David, with these new DA layers, how inexpensive layer twos that use non-Ethereum DA layers would actually be. And it's this tweet says, the benefits of ZK proving for L2s with a 99% cost reduction versus layer one DA. So here's like
L2s are about to be free, bro.
The cost savings. This is another Manta network. It's a different layer two. So it's not Arbitrum Nova, but Manta network is tapping into Celestia for DA. And look at how cheap these transactions are, right? It's like transactions on layer twos are going to like fall off a
cliff. They're going to be free.
When they don't use Ethereum for data availability, they're going to be incredibly cheap, practically free, and probably going to be subsidized by many of the layer twos. Like, because if it's micro fractions of a penny, like why introduce that friction for your users? Mm-hmm. Just call it free because it's basically free.
Well, why do you think we're getting the inscription spam attack? Because everything is free these days.
Oh, cool. So we get more spam attacks. We'll have to solve that for that one too. David, tell me about the Solana phone.
Yeah. Okay. So like about a month ago, the Solana organization, I think kind of just called the Solana phone a flop. And this, they had like, they were selling like 30 to 50 phones a day at peak, and it slowed down to like 2 to 3 phones a day. And if you're going to have enough phones being sold to induce a developer ecosystem to build apps for the phone, you need to move a lot more phones, like tens of thousands of phones. They had 20,000 phones in their first batch. The first
bootstrapping problem.
It's a bootstrapping problem. And I think they only sold like 4,000 to 5,000 of them. I talked to Anatoly about this earlier this week. That episode will come out next week. And then they sell 15,000 last week.
What?
What the hell happened? Well, because
I've got an idea.
The original Solana phone came with a Bonk airdrop on it. And the Bonk token has appreciated significantly in price to be about half the cost of the phone. So the phone was 50% off. And the thing is that this is not the only airdrop on the phone. There's like a handful in the teens number of airdrops that you get from having the phone. And so these phones are now going for $2,000 to $5,000 a piece on eBay.
Are you serious? It's an ARB opportunity then.
It's not an ARB opportunity. It's an investment. It's a speculative investment that all of these Solana tokens that are on the Solana Saga phone are going to pump in price. And so like you are over at a $5,000. You are way overpaying what you can pull out from the phone in terms of tokens. because you can only pull out $400, but they're kind of just a rare commodity. It's a bet on Solana. It's like, it's kind of like Uni socks a little bit, but also with the potential of these airdrops like appreciating bigly.
Well, that's got to help them with the entire bootstrapping problem, I would guess. Has that as a side effect? It's basically like it found its product market fit, and that's like attaching speculative tokens to it.
Yeah.
What a crypto thing to do, huh?
Yeah. So Anatoly says, we haven't seen a ton of signal whether that's compelling enough to sell 50,000 units. They're at 20,000 units now, but I think 25 to 50,000 units feels like there's a hardcore user base for developers to compel to ship applications. So they need another reason. Lightning can't strike twice like this, but if they can get to 50,000 phones, all of a sudden that becomes like a strong user base. Funnily enough, Ryan, MKBHD, he's the biggest tech reviewer in YouTube, like one of the most watched YouTube accounts, rated the Solana phone the worst phone of 2023.
Oh, sad. This is bust of the year, Solana Sega phone. Oh, this is part of a whole thread where he's rating phones and he got to that one, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, sad. And he says the bonk.
Yeah, he says no amount of bonk can save this phone.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I guess a cynical interpretation of this is like, oh great, another like crypto speculative like bubble crap just trying to show a phone that's not great. I guess a more optimistic take on this is like, hey, tokens really do solve the initial bootstrapping problem.
They really do. It really is.
So now you have at least some critical mass of phones out there, and maybe that creates a network effect for more development for it to improve down the line. I don't really have a take. I don't have one of those. But David, 3Horse Capital in the news again. This time, $1 billion of their assets were frozen. What's this about?
Yeah, so the BVI, British Virgin Isles, I believe that's Bermuda, has frozen $1 billion of 3Horse Capital assets. So we kind of saw this definitely, like people think about this happening when Suzu was arrested trying to leave Singapore. And he was only arrested for a very small thing, but the bet was that it was going to like spiral into a big thing. And we are watching this. So 3Horse Capital can say goodbye to $1 billion of their monies.
Yeah, if it's in a bank account, it can be frozen, David.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, he should have listened to the bank list a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, you know, you can't freeze Bitcoin. Can't freeze that Ether on chain. David, there was a pretty large court case. Actually, the first DeFi hacker to ever plead guilty in the first ever smart contract fraud conviction. This is a Solana DeFi hacker. What happened with this story?
This is Shakib Ahmed, who pled guilty to charges relating to two DEXs, one Nirvana Finance, the other one Crema Finance. I think these were on Solana. These were Solana. I think so. Is that right?
They were definitely on Solana.
Stole $12 million from Solana DEXs, faces 5 years in prison, will be sentenced on March 13th. First ever conviction for smart contract hacks and fraud, according to a U.S. attorney. So that's just a message for all the incoming scammers of 2024 and 2025. You will go to jail.
Yo, theft is still illegal.
Yes, theft is still theft, even if it's crypto.
This is where I'm a little bit Gary Gensler. I'm like, oh, we already have rules in place against theft. Right. We don't need additional crypto-specific rules to tell people not to steal. It's always been illegal, guys. You can't steal.
It's still illegal just because it's crypto.
Just because it's on chain. David, as we close out this holiday episode, we got a meme of the week relating to the Solana phone here. What are we looking at?
It's a meme from that one movie, which is, sell me this pen. And the man responds, it has 10 million bonk tokens on it. That would buy the pen. That would buy the pen.
That's where we'll leave things, guys. We got a moment of Zen coming up. Do you want to tease that?
We got a moment of Zen from Argent, who puts a yearly promo, yearly recap every single year. They did it last year. They did it this year as well. If you want to get excited for the Bankless yearly roll-up coming a week from today, actually, our timelines and their timelines lined up pretty well, except they put it into a minute and 30 seconds, and we did it in an hour.
It's a good year in review for crypto, I would say. So enjoy that, guys. I got to end with some disclosures. David and I are advisors for ZK Sync and Eigenlayer. I think we mentioned them both in the episode. And as a reminder, we are long-term investors. We're not journalists. We don't do paid content. There's always a link to all Bankless disclosures at bankless.com/disclosures. Wow, what a year it's been. Thank you so much for being with us on, 51 roll-ups for the entire year, David?
51,
I don't think we missed a week.
51 weekly roll-ups and one yearly roll-up.
Oh my God. So that's all 52 weeks, and you guys have been along for the ride. Thank you so much. Got to remind you again, as we close out 2023, crypto is risky. You lose what you put in, but we are headed west. This is the frontier, not for everyone, but we're glad you're with us on the Bankless journey. Thanks a lot. What is Operation Choke Point?
that the crypto businesses might end up completely unbanked.
Investors in the banks will not be protected.
Crypto bank Silvergate shutting down.
And the lack of compliance by these crypto platforms means that you don't have basic investor protections.
World's biggest asset manager, that is BlackRock, filed to list an ETF backed by spot Ethereum on the NASDAQ exchange at some point.
The need for crypto.
Hallelujah!
Bitcoin, Ether, and U.S.
What kind of abstraction?